Today, the sermon, it will be facing your past, okay? Facing your past. You know, there's a promise that God gives to us, and Jesus promised that there will be abundant life, a full life. There's a promise of healing, of freedom, of transformation of our life. A purpose, you know, even in this broken world, there's a promise of purpose and a destiny that we have in Jesus Christ. But when you look at scripture, you see that God's people had to, you know, when they went into the promised land, this was a promise, that they had to face giants. Okay, they had to face giants. And we see David also had to face a giant named Goliath, you know. And Goliath, this giant, was in the way of God's purpose for his life. And, you know, so giants, the way I see giants, are obstacles that prevent you from God's miracle, God's healing, God's freedom, God's full life. Giants are formidable opposition that comes to steal and destroy God's continual work in your life. Giants are stumbling block that prevents transformation, spiritual maturity, and God's purpose for your life. That's why Jesus, even he promised, you know, in the Bible, he says, you know, in John 10:10, I come to give you life to the full. Right? But that same verse, okay, if you look at John 10:10, he warns us, a thief will come to steal, destroy, and kill. Okay? So as a Christian, we have a giant. Jesus warned us about this giant. We have a giant. We have an enemy. We have a powerful foe. The devil is against us. Okay? The devil comes to steal, destroy, and kill. You know, so there are lies and there are imagination that scams your life. There are past abuse, rejection and abandonment and betrayal that destroys our life. There are temptation, there are bondage, there's addiction, there's oppression that kills, that steals. And so as a believer, as a Christian, your identity is not the giants that's in your life. Your identity is not the lies, okay? It's not the brokenness, it's not the bondage, it's not the sin. Instead, as a believer, you are to face your giant and overcome it. Okay? We're called to overcome it. Our identity is in Christ. You know, again, the Bible doesn't say there's no more condemnation. If you look at the Bible says in Christ there's no more condemnation. The Bible doesn't say you can do all things. No, when you look at the Bible, it says in Christ, you could do all things. In Christ, you can face your giants. Okay? In Christ, you overcome the giants in your life. You're not defined by how big, and some of you are facing big giants. You know, as we were worshiping, I was just, you know, I've known you for many years, many of you. You know, I know what's going on in your life. And as I just scan the room, you're facing giants in your life. And, you know, my heart goes out to you. But you're not defined by how big the giant is. You're defined by Jesus. Okay? You're defined by Jesus. And Jesus is bigger than the giants that's in your life. Okay? Jesus is bigger. Last Sunday, I wasn't here, but I, you know, I went online and listened to the sermon that Tay gave, and he gave a message about simple habits to victory. Okay, simple habit, you know, facing your giants and how to overcome your giants. And the sermon Tay gave talked about building good habits to overcome the giants, and you know, and I want to also focus on David. You know, and because when you look at David, David didn't learn to overcome Goliath the moment that he faced Goliath. But, you know, as Tay, that sermon, it was through godly habit developed over many years. For example, David was a worship leader. He was a worshiper. You see all the psalms that he wrote. And there was so much power in David when he worshiped, when he had the lyre, the harp, when he would worship the Lord. It had so much power that when King Saul was oppressed by demonic spirit, Saul had David play the harp and worship. And the evil spirit would leave Saul. Okay? And Saul would feel better. Now, that power that David had in worship did not come. That did not develop in the palace. But when he was all alone as a shepherd, David would take out his harp when no one is looking, and he would worship the Lord. Power and worship came from personal worship, not public worship. When I looked at the Psalm 23, I believe, it kind of gives you a view of how he developed this relationship with the Lord as he worshiped. Because Psalm 23 is a worship. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is a Psalm of David. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. He refreshes my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And David also, as Tay mentioned, David also told Saul, he overcame. When he saw Goliath, he was not fearful of Goliath because he overcame a lion and a bear. But where did he overcome a lion and a bear? As a shepherd. Okay? And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, he says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." You see, he had to have encounter with God when he faced the lion. Okay? That built his faith. And then he had an encounter with God when he faced the bear. Okay? And because he had an encounter with God, with the lion, with the bear, he was not afraid of Goliath. Okay? He was not afraid of Goliath. Again, last Sunday was focused on godly habit to overcome your giant. But today's sermon, I want to kind of complement that sermon. I want to talk about facing your giants by facing your past. Okay? Facing your giant by facing your past. And David's past, there was a past that David had to face. And what was that past? David had to face his father's rejection, neglect, and disapproval. It was very deep. David had to face his father's rejection, neglect, and disapproval. See, when he was a boy, Samuel came to his house, his father's house, Jesse, and there were eight. Jesse had eight sons. And Samuel told Jesse that he was there to anoint the next king of Israel. And Jesse, David's father, bring out the eldest, and Samuel said no. The second, Samuel said no. Third, and Samuel, no, that's not the one that God chose. Then fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. But he has eight sons, but he brought out seven, and he stopped. Jesse stopped. And Samuel tells Jesse, God didn't choose any of them. And Jesse didn't mention he had another son. Samuel had to ask Okay, when you go to the Bible, Samuel had to ask, are these all the sons that you have? And after Samuel probed, Jesse said, yeah, I have one more. He's out in the field. Huh? His name is David. David's father did not believe or imagine that David could be the next king. Right? David was invisible to his dad. Something, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, the stumbling block to God's purpose is those who are closest to you. Right? Who are closest to you. David, to fulfill God's destiny, had to overcome his past. Had to overcome the disapproval, the neglect, and the unbelief from his dad. From his dad. This is a great barrier to overcome. When one person who should love you rejects you, that's very painful. And when it's especially your father that rejects you, it is a pain and hurt that you carry from childhood. It goes very, very deep. It goes to the very soul. It affects your identity. It affects your whole life. It affects your relationship with God. Okay? And where was God? Okay? In David's pain. Okay? When David, as a boy, forgotten by his father, Samuel anoints David. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. From that day on, right, from that day on, as a boy, right, as a boy, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, upon David. So the way I interpret this verse, okay, it's not, I don't interpret it as this charismatic interpretation, power. This is how I interpret this verse. God was with David in the midst of his rejection as a boy. See, next day, his father forgot about him again and sends him out. He was just anointed to be the next king of Israel by a prophet, a great prophet, Samuel. And David sends him out to take care of the sheep again. God was with David in his rejection, his neglect, and his father's disapproval. God was with David in the deep pain. David faced his past. Right? And this is very important. David faced his painful past, not alone. He wasn't alone. David faced his rejection and pain with the Lord. David walked out his healing. I don't know how long it took, huh? With the Lord. And the Lord healed David. How do I know? I don't know how long it took, but I know up to when. How do I know David walked out his healing from that pain, from the rejection, from his own dad? You need to look at David's relationship with King Saul. David walked in victory in his relationship with a very bad king, very bad leader. Something I believe he would not be able to do if he didn't walk out the healing and victory from the rejection from his dad. See, King of Israel in the Bible was different from other kings like Babylon and Pharaoh in Egypt. The king of Israel was supposed to represent God to the nation. Right? And so the core, the enemy came into Dave's home and stole and to destroy, to kill. Because David's dad was to represent God in his home. But David's dad, Jesse, didn't do that. King Saul was supposed to represent God to the nation, to the nation of Israel. But what did David face? David, in the home, his dad was a stumbling block to him. And in the nation, in the palace, King Saul was the greatest stumbling block to David. Saul, the Bible says, was very jealous of David. And Saul, he was so jealous of David, he wanted to kill him. He wanted him to die. That he encouraged David to make raids on the Philistine, that was the most dangerous raid, so that in hope that David would get killed. But that didn't happen. The Lord was with him. So he got an assassin to try to kill David, and that didn't work. So every time he got upset, he would get a javelin and throw the javelin at David. And then finally, when David fled Israel from Jerusalem, he used the whole army. Israel. He used the whole army to go after David. Okay. So, if it was you, if it was me, David should have been filled with hopelessness, bitterness, anger, and hatred, right? Why? Because of Saul. David lost everything because of Saul. He had to go into hiding. He was falsely accused as a traitor to his country. He had to live in the wilderness with his enemy because of Saul. But what do you see in the Bible? David didn't stay in bitterness or brokenness or bondage. Okay? David had two opportunities to kill Saul. One was in 1 Samuel verse 24. It's not up there. Saul came to where David was with 3,000, men. And so David was hiding in a cave with some of his men. And Saul decided to rest in that cave. Can you imagine? By himself. He said, I'm going to go into that cave and I'm just going to rest. All right? And so when Saul was resting in that cave, David and his men were there. Saul's life was in David's hand. David had left home, family, friends, and everything that was important to him, he lost it because of Saul's obsession to kill him. He had this obsession. David had the opportunity to get back at Saul, but the Bible says David spared Saul. Instead of taking the matter into his own hand, David gave the situation into God's hand. Then, second time, it was in 1 Samuel 26. Once again, Saul comes with his army to pursue David. And they decide to camp. I don't know where it was. I forgot. They decide to camp somewhere. And David, with Abishai, snuck into the camp and found Saul sleeping right in front of them. Okay. Abishai said to David, God has handed your enemy over to you today. Let me do this. Let me pin him to the ground with my spear. One stroke is all I need, and I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to need a second. David responds, if it was me, go ahead. But that's not what David said. David said, don't kill him. As surely as the Lord lives, it will be the Lord who will strike him down. Okay? Once again, David spares Saul. Instead of taking the matter into his own hand, David gave the situation into God's hand. Because this is what he learned. Right? This is what he learned. This is what God taught him. I believe David was able to do this because David walked out his past pain with his father, with the Lord over the years. David faced with the Lord his childhood rejection, the neglect, and then abandonment from his biological father. And that process, he walked out with the Lord, the forgiveness, the healing, the deliverance with the Lord. Therefore, David was able to walk out forgiveness, healing, and deliverance with King Saul. And the rejection, the pain, the opposition was much, much greater with Saul. Was much, much greater. You know, walking out his childhood issue with his biological father, with the Lord, prepared him to become a great king of Israel. Okay? It prepared him to become a great king. Yes, the godly habit that he developed, but walking out his past pain, he faced the pain with the Lord. And he walked out to healing with the Lord. To get that, that's why I say it's a complimentary sermon that prepared him to be the greatest king that Israel ever had. Yeah. So this is my challenge to you. Can the worship team come up? This is my challenge. What I realize about past pain, we carry it. We could carry it till you're 85 years old. Something that could have happened to you at 5 or 12 years old as a teen, we could carry it till we're 80. And this is my, challenge? No, this is my hope. What I want for this church and for myself. Don't run away. Don't hide. Don't suppress it. Your childhood pain, the hurt, the rejection, the abuse, the neglect, the betrayal, the trauma. Almost all of us have it. But don't continue to carry it. If you carry it, you're not going to overcome King Saul. Not going to be able to overcome King Saul. You know, in our church, we do inner healing, I try to learn much as I can. But I guess it's my personality. It's very hard for me to, we will minister to somebody, and then, they will go back to their childhood memory, a very painful memory, and healing will come. When they would tell you, a lot of time, they'll tell you, I see Jesus there with me. I see in that place where I was rejected, in that room where I was abused, I see Jesus there with me. And, because, again, I don't know, the way I'm made, that doesn't help me. but it helps many people. I see it happen again and again. But this passage, this story of David, I see this in David, life of David, when he was a boy, forgotten by his biological father. David was invisible to his father. In the midst of David's childhood brokenness, God did not forget him. Again, he sent Samuel to look for him, to anoint him. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 says this, let me just read it to you. Just meditate on this. This forgotten boy. So Samuel took the horn of the oil, and I want you to go back to your childhood trauma. The rejection, the past pain. And see yourself. This is God's heart. For David, it's God's heart for you. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And if you read the Bible, even his brothers were rejecting David. You know, they called him like conceited, you know, when he was showing passion for God. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The way I interpret it, from that day on, David saw God who heals, God who delivers, God who saves. He saw God who loves him. He saw God who was with him. A forgotten boy. He saw Jesus in the midst of his rejection. Let's face our pain, but not alone. Let's face our pain. Let's face our rejection. We are not alone. Holy Spirit, whatever, you know, our memory, going to the past, anoint that boy, anoint that little girl. In the presence of that rejection, that abuse, that neglect, that pain, anoint your child, God. And this is so important. You need to see this. You need to believe this. Jesus is with you right there in that pain. And he's going to walk with you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. Heal your children, oh God. Time is not a barrier. Continue to just open your heart to the Lord. Whatever he wants to do, just say yes to him. Let him comfort you. Let him cleanse you. Let him encourage you. Let him heal.